Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Charlotte Kniep. And some of you may not know that there are now three new film installments in the Meet the Mormons series. And the films were just released last week at the LDS Temple Square Visitor Center and will soon be more widely available. And I was able to watch the films yesterday, and I was so blown away by them. The first series was so great, and if you loved it, you will definitely appreciate these stories as well. And we have the producer and director, Blair True, in the studio with us today to talk about this project. Thanks for being here.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So with the success of the last Meet the Mormons release, was it always in the plans to continue filming more film segments?
Well, in the original film, it was created in kind of a modular design. You know, if you think back on it, it's really just a series of six stories mm-hmm. in the original. And so there was the thought at the time that at some point in the future, we didn't know when, that we would take these six stories and pull them out and make them work as standalones.
Okay.
And that's what we've done. We've done that. But not only that, we've added new additional footage that's not been seen before, to make it exclusive and kind of special for the Legacy Theater, as well as the other visitor centers around the country. And so now when you go to Legacy Theater, rather than seeing one film, you're going to have a chance to see nine with the six that were in existence before with new footage. And these are just, this just means that we're going to take the stories in more depth mm-hmm. Than we did before. They're still the same stories, but there's just a little bit more background.
Right.
And now we have the three additional stories that will be also kind of working as standalone short stories, if you will. So they all run around 18 minutes, give or take, and then they play every 30 minutes in the theater throughout the day from 9:30 to 8:30. And it's just an opportunity to come downtown and be inspired by one or be inspired by two. You can stay in there and watch them in a series if you like.
Right. You can have a marathon all day long.
Yeah, if you're really up for that.
You want to see all nine.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I really enjoyed them. And the three new stories you're featuring are of an Italian artist named Giovanna, a horseman named Jeff and his wife Emily, and then the Kawamitsu family, a Japanese performing group. Why do you think these three specific stories are needed at this time?
Well, if there's a common theme in all of the stories, it's how a gospel-centered life has made my life better.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that theme, I think, comes through in all the stories, the old as well as the new. But there is a strong emphasis on family on these. I think the great thing about these things is that you kind of take away from it what you need, what you feel. The nice thing is that nobody can really pick out a favorite, or they may have a favorite, but what might be your favorite might be different from the favorite from somebody else.
Right.
And so there really, it continues to be kind of a, there is something for everyone. I think there's the theme of family in all of these stories, but we also get into some other specific issues and some challenges that our Latter-day Saint families have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one being there are a number of part member families out there. And that's, you know, Giovanna's story hits home with that one. Or whether they be, you know, if you're a teenager and you're struggling with your own self-image and how do I look and how do I feel?
Eating disorders.
You know, depression, eating disorders. Yeah. So it covers a kind of a broad array of topics.
You know, these films are designed to kind of be shown to everyone, too. They're designed for active LDS members. They're designed for missionaries. They're designed for people who are curious what LDS members' lives look like and for people who've maybe left the LDS faith and are kind of maybe sort of thinking about coming back. They can be reminded of all the good,
yeah.
That's here.
Well, and there's still that level of, we hope, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I can't presume to tell people what they're going to think or feel after watching these. We certainly hope that they'll feel the same way they did with the original, that the stories are real, that they're authentic.
Mm-hmm.
I've often said that the goal would be, you know, if I were doing a story about you, for example, mm-hmm. you know, famous radio host, okay?
Hardly famous.
But if I were doing a story about you, I would want there to be consistency such that if somebody were to come visit with you and spend a week with you, they're going to have an impression of you.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to take away an opinion about what makes you tick, what makes you do the things you do. Well, my objective as a storyteller would be then to tell a story that's consistent with that. So if they knew you, then they watch your story. They go, yep, that's her.
Mm-hmm.
That captures her. And so if we'd captured that, if we're authentic in that regard, then I think we've kind of done our job.
Absolutely. And you've done such a good job.
Oh, that's very kind. They were a lot of fun. I mean, you've had a chance to visit with these families mm-hmm. and they're great families and they're very, what I call extraordinarily ordinary.
And I think it kind of goes to show that while not every LDS family is going to be able to be featured in Meet the Mormons, that's a 20-lifetime pursuit there. But, you know, these are relatable stories, that these instances are more common than not. And every family has a story that they can share.
Yeah.
Every family has something noteworthy and worthwhile about them.
That is so true. That is so true.
And it just helps. It helps to see that, to see these seemingly normal people just living their lives.
Yeah. I've often felt that if you dig deep enough, everybody has a story. There's no shortage of great stories out there for us to tell. The tricky part is, well, which one?
Uh-huh.
Which ones do we tell? And we're actually starting to work on stories for 2017.
Oh, wow.
That doesn't mean that it's going to happen. We're just kind of developing some ideas. Mm-hmm. And we're watching closely to see how these play out, how these perform in the theater. And as long as there's an appetite for them, and as long as the brethren see fit to continue this series, then we'll do it. And we don't know if that's going to go, this might be the end. It could go another year. It could go another 3 or 4 years. Who knows? So, we'll just, the idea is to keep the Legacy Theater and the other visitor centers theaters fresh with new content so that there's kind of always something new.
I know a lot of our listeners are curious about this. How did you find these people?
It's the most frequently asked question, and it's also the most difficult to answer because the short answer is, and I don't mean this to sound cliche, but the short answer is we are absolutely guided to these families, and they are prepared for us. They come to us in a variety of ways. I'll see an article about somebody, or I'll see a Facebook post and they'll refer to something that they read about somebody, or somebody, a bishop or a institute director or a friend that went to one particular area will mention something to me about a family or about an individual. And I start to think, well, that might make an interesting story. So it's not like we put out this official search, but the criteria, we do have some criteria that we look for. We want people to be open and expressive. They can't be closed off. We want them to represent the global church that we are. So we want there to be some ethnic diversity as well as geographic diversity.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the other single most important quality is that we want the testimony that they possess to be evident in the way they live their daily lives. Not that they have to wear it on their sleeves.
Right.
We just want it to be evident. So in the coach, for example, he shuts down his program on Sunday. And what is he doing? He's teaching primary, which mm-hmm. is very normal and very typical for Latter-day Saints. So there's that aspect. People have said, well, I don't know if I can relate with a head football coach because I'm not a head football coach. But you can relate with the fact that he has a job,
mm-hmm.
he's under pressure, and he teaches primary. Mm-hmm. And that's just one example of hundreds in these stories where in the case of the entertainers, they one member of their group has made the conscious decision to serve a mission. And that's more important to him right now. And so he left the group. He'll come back to the group, even though there was some risk that they might be hurt by that. And fans said, we're going to leave if Ikey goes.
Right.
He still went, and he's going to come back, and he gets home in a couple of months. And so that's, again, just one of many examples wherein these families are displaying their testimony, their commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ by the way that they live.
And I think it gives viewers, LDS viewers especially, an idea of how they might, like you said, not everyone's going to be a head football coach
right.
or part of a Japanese pop group, but it might give them an idea for how they can more apparently live their faith mm-hmm. in their own sphere of influence in their own lives. Were there any happy accidents that you had while filming? Anything that sort of happened that you weren't expecting and then ended up making it better?
Well, the Wadman story, the horseman, was one that we started on with the initial 6 stories. But there was something that didn't quite feel complete on that story.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though we started on that story at the same time as the original 6, it makes no appearance with them and nobody would ever know. And we didn't know I always felt, and I told them this, I said, don't worry because this story will play out at some point. It's just not quite there yet. I think we have 90% of what we need, but it's just, we've edited it together and it works pretty well. It has a nice beginning, middle, and end. But it's just not quite, there's something missing.
Right.
And what happened, the nice surprise was their firstborn son came along. It wasn't a surprise to them, of course, but it was to me.
Yeah.
And with the birth of their first son, Branson, it changed their perspective on so many things, as it does for all of us. When you become a first-time parent, the way you look at life is completely different than the way you did prior to having children. Mm-hmm. And that new perspective, that new experience opened up a whole new thought process for them. And so we came back and rejoined their story after Branson was born. And now he and she had a lot more to say.
Mm-hmm.
And that coupled with the natural evolution of, you know, I'm a horse trainer and this modern day parable, if you will, about how Heavenly Father works with us, how he requires us to be humble and meek. And there's so many parallels to what you want a horse to be able to do, to be willfully guided.
Mm-hmm.
That's the term that they use in reining competitions. They want the horse, you want to give as few inputs to the horse as possible to make the horse do what you'd like it to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about our relationship with Heavenly Father, and as we follow the example of the Savior, some of us need huge inputs. We need a kick in the backside to get going,
yeah.
Right? And others need just some gentle prodding here and there to stay in tune with what he would have us do. And so there are many parallels and fun surprises in that story.
Well, thank you so much, Blair, for being with us and sharing your thoughts on this beautiful project.
Sure. It's been so much fun. And it's been, for me personally, it's probably been the most rewarding project of my life at this point.
I bet. Well, this will be a hard one to top. Well, again, to view the Meet the Mormons film series, the original compilation of 6 stories is available online at mormonchannel.org, as well as in various LDS visitor centers around the world, along with the 3 new stories that are now only available at the Salt Lake Temple Visitor Center, but you can watch all 9 stories in succession. And for a schedule of times to view these stories, just go to legacytheater.lds.org for a schedule that applies for the next 2 weeks, and then just keep checking back frequently. No tickets or reservations are required, and I hope that you are prayerful as you consider who to take with you to view these movies. Really, they are for everyone. And we're going to end our episode today with a quote from former LDS Apostle Joseph B. Worthland. He said, "Faith is not so much something we believe, faith is something we live." Thank you so much for tuning in today. Mormon Channel Daily is brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.